Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight.
Hi, this is Buzz Knight, the host of the Taking a Walk podcast series. We are in Leesburg, Virginia, beautiful Leesburg, Virginia, for this episode of Taking a Walk. And today, the topic is going to be autonomous vehicles. We've been hearing about autonomous driving for a long time. I think the first time I heard about it was in 2014 or 13, and I was like, get out of here, this isn't going to happen. So you will, by the end of this episode, understand really where autonomous driving is and where it's headed, and directly from standpoint of regular consumers, also from commercial vehicles as well, because there are some differences. And for that, we're going to turn to our friend from the NPD Group, executive director and market forecaster and man extraordinaire around town, Ben Arnold. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Buzz. How are you? It's nice to have you here in Leesburg, Virginia on a beautiful day.
It's awesome to be here. Great to see you. So there's a lot of information flying around about autonomous driving, where it's headed, some of the pitfalls that maybe it faces, the difference between commercial and consumer. Can you tell us where it's at right now?
Well, as you can see, or we're sitting on a road here, cars that have autonomous features like Tesla are on our roadways right now. And the way that we look at the autonomous question, how the feature is coming to more vehicles, we look at different levels of autonomy. The level 5 autonomous vehicle is fully self-driving, doesn't need to be confined to any location. It's basically a computer and a robot on its own. But in many of the vehicles that we own today, if you bought a car in the last year or two, you may find that your car has certain autonomous features. Sensors that will keep your vehicle between the lines on the road. Computer vision that will keep your car far enough away from the car in front of it. Accident detection. There's so many sensors in cars now that even though many of us don't have fully self-driving vehicles, we have features that come close to the cars being self-driving. I recently took a very long road trip with my family to Florida and discovered that when I put on the cruise control, my car was suddenly conscious that it was turning in line with the road based on the lanes. It was keeping us far enough away from the car in front of us that we felt safe. You know, that's kind of an upbuild of traditional cruise control. And I even felt comfortable enough to take my hands off the steering wheel once or twice. So even though many of us don't own autonomous vehicles, we have some of the features that begin to get us close to that sort of future of a self-driving car.
I've seen and myself witnessed and others that I've spoken to about this, where they have cars that have some features, but they seem a little bit inconsistent in terms of their senses or the sensors. Detecting emergency environment on the road. Am I right in seeing that?
Absolutely. And there are probably some standards for certain sensors and vehicles. I'm not aware of any industry standards that say vehicle has to be this many feet away or has to notify you of a obstacle in the roadway with in a certain number of seconds. So I think that there is a level of maybe standardization that needs to happen. Certainly you look at the news and you see that there's a big debate around self-driving, especially with companies like Tesla that are pushing into that future very aggressively. So I do think that we're in this period of innovation where we're trying some things out. and we're trying to understand how they're playing out on the roads. And as there continue to be tests on closed roadways, and as consumers give feedback, and of course, all these vehicles are connected, so there's a tremendous amount of data that the car makers are receiving. You know, as we continue to go through this process, I think we'll get to this future where we're more comfortable with fully self-driving vehicles, that they perform better. But I do think it's a process that we're going to have to go through. Now, it's a process that has very high stakes, right? There, we're talking about safety and people's lives and the roadway. So, you know, the stakes are pretty high. But I think as we, you know, see in other areas of innovation, it's a process. And when things come out, especially in technology, they're not always perfect. And to me, this is just an extension of kind of the story that we see in tech.
And is there a broad difference on the experience between what consumers deal with and what commercial consumers deal with?
Absolutely. Many commercial users of self-driving vehicles, they're after a specific purpose. So you can look at like Waymo, which was a startup within Google, and became a self-driving taxi service. They've certainly got different indicators that they're looking for in terms of leveraging the self-driving, right? Being able to hail the car from a remote location and have it come to you. You know, that's not something that we typically think about in our personal passenger cars. Another example, and a company that shows off at CES seems like every year, is John Deere. And they have an autonomous, I guess you call it a tractor. It's gigantic. It's like the size of three semi trucks, but that is an autonomous tractor, and that focus is certainly on working on fields and crops. So they have computer vision utilized in a different way, being able to understand what's in the ground, what to pull, what's ready to pull, what needs to be, what needs to stay in, and how do you sort of process the crop that you're pulling. So I think as we get into more enterprise or commercial use cases, we see, some of the differences in what different companies are using the autonomous features for.
Well, lastly, Ben, I was in a car, an Uber that was a Tesla, and the driver was not comfortable, actually fearful of playing with some of the autonomous features in the car. Which I think speaks to the challenge of educating consumers. What's your thought on that?
There's a comfort level that we all have in cars. And again, if you read some of the news around some of these tests with self-driving cars, there's been some incidents, some accidents, and so that could make somebody a little more nervous about using the autonomous features. One thing that I think about a lot as I'm driving is that I'm in control of this vehicle. And when there's something in the roadway, I'm the one that swerves. And I've been doing that for 30 years, however long I've been driving. That's what I'm used to. When I took this drive to Florida and I found out that I had these autonomous features in my car, I gave up a little bit of that control, right? I put on the cruise control. The car is, curving with the roadway. It's slowing down when we get closer to a car in front of us. That's not me doing it. That's the computer in the car doing it. And I think that there's some uncomfortableness with that, but it's a process, right, of allowing the technology to take over. And I think we're all on different parts of that spectrum right now. But as these things get tested, as they become more prevalent. Maybe you go to a New York City and you hail an Uber, and there isn't a driver. It's it's a robot drive. It's an autonomous vehicle, but it's driving at a slow enough pace and stopping when people come in the roadway, that maybe that's a first experience that can get people a little more comfortable with this idea of self-driving vehicles. So I think it's a process that we go through as consumers. Innovation is rarely perfect. It's rarely neat and tidy. Oftentimes it takes longer than we think it should. There are challenges that maybe we don't foresee. And I think we're just living in that process right now. And as more manufacturers turn on autonomous features, and as more people use them, I think we'll get to a point where the average driver is more comfortable with these features and sitting, in the driver's seat, but allowing the computer to take over certain elements of that driving experience.
It's exciting. Well, I'm always I come into these conversations with you a little confused, and then I'm always filled with more clarity for sure. But then I'm sure I'll have more questions. I'll save the questions, Ben, until I run into you at the Consumer Electronics Show in January 2023 in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. It's not far away.
That's right. All right, Ben. Thanks a lot for being on.
All right. Thank you.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.